Every time the Blackhawks win this season, you could win big with Circa Sports Illinois. One fan scores a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and 100 more win a $100 Circa app credit. Don't miss your shot. See the Blackhawks contest page.
Welcome in to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here, as always, but we're here on a Tuesday night because of Northwestern yesterday. So Jack Heinrich is always riding shotgun with me. Jack, it is very cold outside. I was on this road trip with the Blackhawks and did not realize I was going to be coming back to snow in early November here in Chicago. So we're... That seems pretty early.
Yeah, it was early. I was not ready for it.
I think last year, I don't even know if we got any snowfall before the new year. So this is...
Yeah, I think you're right. It was pretty mild.
Yeah, because I remember going through Christmas and we're like, we haven't even had snow yet. But anyway, we are back here. Oliver Moore, I had a great conversation with Oliver this morning, or I should say this afternoon, after practice. And so we'll be airing our conversation later on around 7:35. So stay tuned for that. It was a really enjoyable conversation for Oliver. He was one of the standouts on the road trip for the Blackhawks, particularly the second half when he got called up. And let's get right to it, Jack. The Hawks return home to Chicago on Sunday afternoon, or Sunday night, after their game Sunday afternoon in Detroit. A 12-day road trip, six games. It was a season-long. Kind of reminded me of the circus trip where they would just be gone for a couple weeks at the United Center. And the first half of the road trip went poorly, according to the standings, 0-2-1. Thought they played relatively fine in some of the games, but the results weren't there. They finish off the second half of the road trip with a 3-0 record. They have a 5-2 win over Vancouver, a 4-0 win in Calgary, and a 5-1 victory over Detroit. I mean,
no doubt in those games.
Oh, no doubt in those games. It was a +3, +4, +4 goal differential. I mean, they scored 14 goals, outscored their opponents 14-3 in the final three games of that road trip. I mean, there's so many accolades to go around. The goaltending, Connor Bedard. I mean, the power play and the penalty kill were unbelievable in Detroit. But I want to get to Connor Bedard specifically, Jack, because I mean, he had a 4-point night in Calgary to tie himself with Macklin Celebrini for the NHL scoring race. And then he follows that up with a 3-point performance in Detroit where he briefly took the NHL lead sole possession. That, of course, was broken by Nathan MacKinnon later on in the night after he had a 5-point effort in a 9-1 victory, I think it was, against Edmonton, or maybe it was the game after that. But the way that Connor Bedard has performed so far this season, he's now on pace for 46 goals, 82 assists, and 128 points. For context, if you just eliminate all the goals, he would be on pace for 82 assists. That's the amount of points that I thought Connor would finish with this year, let alone 128. So he's just been on a totally different level, and he deserves all the praise that he's been getting through the first month, given how hard he worked in the summer to enhance his training and try to get a step faster. He said half a step faster. He looks like he's a step and a half faster. And so I feel like I'm running out of words to say about Connor Bedard's start, and he's just been as advertised this season for the Blackhawks.
It's nice to see the media fluff in a positive direction, because I feel like the first 2 years it's just like, is he a center? Is he a wing? Is Celebrini better? And now it's kind of they're talking about his play, and now it seems like he's playing his way onto the radar for Team Canada. I think they had that meeting, what, yesterday or something,
yep,
or that came out. So lots of positives, and you see him just taking over games, which is what they drafted him to do. He had it in spurts in his first 2 years, but now it's just like, you know, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And I think Burakovsky's helped him a lot, and then, I mean, Tyler Bertuzzi just camping out there on the back post is helping him too.
Bedard, you mentioned him taking over games. That's something that the elite of the elite NHL players like McDavid, Draisaitl, MacKinnon, Austin Matthews in the last, you know, several years, if their team isn't going, they are the players that strap the team to their shoulders and say, we don't have it tonight, but just follow my lead. I'll take this one. And that is what has impressed me the last two games, specifically with Connor Bedard. The Hawks lose Frank Nazar early in the Calgary game. It was in the first period. Connor goes on to have a 4-point game, even without Nazar as the 1-2 punch. And then he follows that up in Detroit. Hawks have no Nazar for the entire game, and he has 3 points in the effort. I know they leaned really heavily on the goaltending. Like, Arvid Soderblom was unbelievable, and so was the power play, 3-for-3. But Bedard was a big reason for that success on the power play and in both of those wins. And it's one of those things that we didn't see much of that in Bedard's first 2 years in the NHL, because it was always all the attention was stop number 98, and the Hawks are going to have a really hard time winning and scoring goals. And this year, it feels like in the last two games, even when there was no Frank Nazar, it's like try to stop Connor Bedard and maybe you'll win. Like, that's probably what Calgary is thinking when Nazar goes off. And that's probably what Detroit is thinking when Nazar was not part of that game in Detroit. And Connor still found a way to strap the team on his back. And that's the kind of, those are what the elite players do. And that's the generational type talent that Bedard had the label on. It's like, when he can take over a game, I don't want to say by himself because it makes it seem like his teammates aren't helping in some way, but when he can take over a game and drag his teammates into the battle with him, like, that is the sign of an elite player, and that's where he's trending if he's not already there right now.
Yeah, I think that's what you're getting at. It's like he elevates people around him.
Right.
And I think you see that a lot in football, and they talk about the quarterback elevating people around him. That's kind of how Bedard is right now, is whether it's on the power play or the top line. I mean, the lines got jumbled when they were playing the Flames, and it didn't matter who he was with because he was able to help or find everybody on the ice. So he's starting to take over, and I know we talked about him a lot, but I mean, he keeps putting up 4-point games. We're going to have to keep talking about him, and he's going to have to keep doing that if he's going to be the points leader, because everybody's just having monster games at the top of that.
Well, that's a great point, because I almost feel like I've been talking about Connor Bedard every single post-game show, pre-game show, moving forward, or the last like week or so. But it's so warranted because he's been the story in a lot of those games. And so you mentioned earlier the Tyler Bertuzzi connection between Bedard and Bertuzzi. They traditionally have not played with each other this season at even strength. It's Bedard, Burakovsky as the duo at 5-on-5, and then it's been Donato, it's been Mikheyev, it's been Ryan Green. Oliver Moore stepped into that role briefly when, you know, Nazar went down with an injury. And so the only connection that Bedard and Bertuzzi have had have been on the power play, and they have been perfecting that human backboard play to a T. I mean, it doesn't matter if Bedard is on the left faceoff circle, if he's on the right faceoff circle, Bertuzzi finds a way to post up on the back post or the front post, whichever, well, technically it's the back post, no matter what side Bedard is on. And it's been beautiful to watch, so much so that when Frank Nazar left the Blackhawks lineup because of an injury, the Hawks, Jeff Blashill, the coaching staff, was probably like, hey, let's just keep riding this magic between Bertuzzi and Bedard, and let's put them together at even strength. And we saw it pay off in the Detroit game, how they were playing off each other. And I know that Bedard and Bertuzzi played with each other for a majority of last season, mostly in the first half of the season. So they do have this chemistry, but boy, it has been a joy to watch, Jack, the growing chemistry between Bedard and Bertuzzi and how it has translated from the power play and also now to even strength.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they signed him, right? It seemed like when I was doing those get to knows for Bertuzzi, it was like, oh, he's going to play with Bedard. And then everything got shaken up halfway through the year, but that's why they brought him here. Bertuzzi goes to those areas and is able to just get like the greasy goal, and Bedard's vision is so good, he's able to get it to him there. And I think it was funny when he was going for the second hat trick, it was like he was too far away from the net, and that's why it didn't go in.
He's not used to shooting from that far
exactly.
distance.
He's used to the redirects or
around the net. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a positive for the Hawks, and the vibes are good, and hopefully with rolling in to like this long, I think I was talking to John Hansen, 7 out of 8 games at home or something like that to end the month. Hopefully they can keep rolling like that, because it's nice to do it on the road, but if you can keep it at home when the home fans are able to see you in person, that could really create some momentum and get the UC filled up and rocking.
Two games I'm always worried about for a team. It's the last game of a long road trip, because guys are just, especially Sunday afternoon's game in Detroit, because they were flying home later that night. It was a noon game, the noon game Central Time. So they would have landed, and maybe some of the guys are like, oh, we can be home by dinner
Sunday night.
Yeah. Some players have families. They want to see their kids. They haven't seen their kids in 2 weeks. It's the last game of a long road trip, and it's the first game back at home from a long road trip. So success for Chicago finishing off the road trip with a strong win over Detroit. Now you want to see that carry over into the first home game in New Jersey, so that way the momentum just carries over. And the Hawks had a much needed off day on Monday, and today they had a practice day, which was a fairly long practice, you know, kind of getting the legs back underneath them. But I've been impressed with Bertuzzi, and I think he's has that trust factor with Jeff Blashill. Like, I know that Jeff coached him in the AHL when he broke into the pro hockey game. And then with the Red Wings, Bertuzzi had his most successful season under Blashill. So it's some between the two of them, or some between Blashill's trust factor with Bertuzzi and how that's reciprocated. Last thing I want to mention, and I feel like I haven't given the goaltenders enough love, and Spencer Knight and Arvid Soderblom, but they have been really great. But I do want to single out one other growing positive development, and it's the development of Artem Lefshinov. Ever since he got put on that first power play unit,
under the radar.
Under the radar. I think the Hawks have scored five power play goals since he got put on the first unit. And it's one of those things now. So he has points in six of his last seven games. Detroit game was his first multi-point game of the season. He now has 9 points in 15 games. And if you project that over the course of an 82 game season, or his season, actually, the pace is 81 games because he was a healthy scratch in the home opener. So it's just an 81 game pace is 49 points. Here are the list of defensemen, Jack, over the last 32 years of rookie defensemen that have put up 50 or more points in a single season. It's Lane Hutson at 66, Quinn Hughes, 53, Cale Makar did it 50 in 57 games, which is unheard of, and Moritz Seider, 50 points in 82 games. Those are four rookie defensemen in the last 32 years that have put up 50 or more points.
Pretty good
company. Lefshinov is on pace for 49. So just one more point, and he's in that company. Now, I will say, the season that Matthew Schaefer is having with the New York Islanders as a 17-year-old, number one overall pick, he's also on pace to be on this list. So I digress. But Lefshinov has been playing so much better, and it looks like his confidence is starting to grow, and it's translating not just on the power play, but at even strength. And that's the kind of player that the Hawks drafted number two overall, that ceiling.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And like the last month, he went from being a healthy scratch in that home opener, and then they've just kind of rolled 11-7 and found a way for him to get in the lineup. And now he's comfortable and in the right situations. And yeah, I didn't even realize how many points he had until really they moved him up to this top power play. He's added more, but I think he's like a plus 6 or 7 too. So he's been pretty positive on the ice. I know that's not the end all be all, but it's at least a positive sign for him. And I mean, it's been a lot of moving around for him. So now he's kind of been in the same place for 2 years, and hopefully that helps him.
You mentioned the 11-7. I genuinely think the Blackhawks went 11 forwards and 7 defensemen specifically for Artem Lefshinov.
Yeah.
Like the first two road games in Florida and Boston didn't go his way. He was a healthy scratch in against Montreal for the home opener. And so that was 3 games out of the gate where it was like, all right, tough first 2 games, healthy scratch. What do we do about him? And it's how do we put him in the best position moving forward for his development? And it has benefited not just Lefshinov, but also the 11 forwards. Like, they've been giving Bedard and these other guys more ice time, and it's working for the forwards now too. But with Lefshinov, it felt like that was the motivation to go with 11-7 to shelter some of the minutes for Lefshinov, and making sure that they're putting him in better situations, more offensive situations. And if you look at some of the numbers, Lefshinov is starting like 80% of his shifts in the offensive zone, which is by far the highest on the team. I don't know where that ranks among NHL defensemen. That's probably right up there. And I think that's where the Hawks are it's beautiful that the way that they've handled this, because they're like, all right, we drafted him for his offensive instincts and because he's an unbelievable skater. So let's try to lean into his strengths. And so they give Lefshinov more the offensive minutes. And in the 11 and 7 situation, that Louis Crevier jogs in the lineup and he plays more in the defensive situation. So you're seeing Crevier play more penalty kill minutes and Lefshinov getting the power play. So ever since the Hawks have started doing that, it has worked out beautifully. Specifically with Lefshinov, I've been really impressed, and I think I wouldn't have thought of doing that at the beginning of the season, but I cannot believe it has worked out like the way it has.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like, oh, that's interesting, they're doing that. Now it's been like a month later and it's like, oh, you know, it worked out really good. So I think that shows Jeff Blashill's ability to adapt. And I mean, that's quick too. What, it was like 3 games and they're like, all right, we're going to try this.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see the coach willing to do something like that. And then this whole year, I mean, now everyone's like, oh, like maybe they're in the playoffs. The whole year is about development, and they're helping out their young guys right now. So that's good to see.
Yeah, and the Hawks didn't even do 11-7 at all in the preseason. So they really threw themselves into the fire when they tried it in the regular season. All right, we got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. My conversation with Oliver Moore is coming up next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois, inside the Blackhawks locker room on Tuesday after the Blackhawks had a season-long 6-game road trip, and I'm here with Oliver Moore. And what a finish it was for you for that road trip, getting your first career NHL goal. I know after the game you said it was a weight lifted off your shoulders, but what was that feeling like for you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that was, like you said, like a great way to end the road trip. You know, I think obviously like the feeling after the goal was great, but just being in the locker room, all the texts you get, all the people that kind of supported you along the way, you don't really realize it until a moment like that comes along. And I think that's what makes it special, is just those people. And it was actually my grandma's 93rd birthday too, and my whole family was watching the game. So that's what makes it special, honestly.
How nice was it that it also came in a win? Sometimes you see those milestones and it comes in a loss and you're not as excited, but for it to end in the 3-game winning streak, I mean, how nice was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's why you want to score goals, is to help the team win. Obviously mine was with 15 seconds left to make it 5-1, but yeah, like a win obviously helps. You know, you can kind of be happy about it a little bit more and show your emotion a little more, for sure.
All right, we were just talking off camera a little bit. You get the call at the beginning of the road trip, and you're in Grand Rapids with the Rockford Ice Hogs. You get the call up to Chicago, and they're on a very long road trip. And so all you had was not many things with you, but what were the emotions like when you get that call and then trying to scramble to the airport as you join the Blackhawks?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I was actually just getting ready to play the game. I was on the lineup chart. I was ready to play. And then they just called me into the coach's office and said that I got called up. So, yeah, like you said, I kind of scrambled. I got to the airport, had like a couple pairs of clothes, and just kind of ran with it from there. I mean, it was crazy. Like, not much sleep by road trip, for sure. It was just so much excitement. And but yeah, I mean, it was a great emotion, for sure. It's a dream come true to play in the NHL, and just keep it going here.
Let's rewind to the Minnesota Rookie Showcase Tournament, where I thought you were really noticeable in the one game that you played. You were easily a training camp standout, in my opinion, here with Chicago, but you start the year in Rockford. You probably could have made the team, but I think the Hawks are playing the long game with you to want to make sure that you marinate just a little bit, and you really perform down there with the Ice Hogs with a point per game player. How much did that little stint in the AHL, how much did you benefit from that as you kind of carried your confidence over from training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think my confidence the whole time kind of was similar. I knew I had a really good summer of training, and I knew I put in all the chips I could. So, yeah, like you said, I think just from the start of rookie camp, my confidence has been there. You know, obviously, it was a different training camp for sure, and was trying to make the team as best I could. But I knew that wherever I was going to play, I was just trying to make an impact. And, yeah, but I do definitely think the coaching staff, everyone in Rockford, all my teammates there, were awesome, and I couldn't ask for a better situation to be in. And then yeah, I think it definitely for sure helped me just as another step coming into the NHL. And obviously, I think going through training camp too and knowing the systems, what to expect, everything, made it easy to come up here and even in the midst of that, all that madness, kind of jump in and make an impact. So,
did the brief 9-game stint at the end of last year in the NHL help confidence-wise, or you can take that experience into the summer, know what you have to work on, and then you knew what to expect coming into this season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, you can look back at those 9 games and you can say it was the end of the long 82-game season for those guys, but we were playing in some really important games too. I mean, the Ovechkin game obviously was crazy, the Montreal game, and you just try to take every little piece you could out of those games. And yeah, I definitely think it helped me just throughout the summer and staying in contact with the Blackhawks, knowing what I can improve on, watching film from those games. It's NHL's hockey is a completely different game than college, so it definitely helped me over the summer and yeah, let me into the year.
All right, I have to ask, you played on a line with Nick Lardis in Rockford for the 9 games that you were there. What was it like playing with him? I mean, we knew what he did last year in the OHL with the 71 goals, but for both of you guys to pick up where you left off, I mean, how special was it to just have instant chemistry with a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we were talking about it. I think our first time ever skating together was rookie camp here, because we didn't skate at dev camps or anything, and we were just talking to each other, like, what kind of players did we expect we were going to be? And I think he's everything I expected he's going to be. You know, just obviously he scored 70 goals in the OHL. It doesn't have my accent. He's an unbelievable player. He's just a fun guy to be around too. Made it really easy for us to jump on the ice and like you said, just kind of pick up the hockey players we were. So,
all right, last one. I'm looking around this Blackhawks locker room, and it's just a bunch of young guys, right? How fun has that been, where you start the relationships at development camp, but now you look around the room and it's primarily made up of guys around your same age? I mean, how fun is that? Not just growing on the ice together, but having that team chemistry off the ice.
Yeah, it's honestly been super exciting. You know, there's, like you said, a ton of young guys in here. It's really easy for us to kind of get along. Off the ice, going to dinners, hanging out. It's just a fun place to be right now. And, you know, I'm super grateful for the situation I'm in and all these guys are in. We're going through it together, and it's pretty fun.
Awesome. Well, thanks for doing this. Congrats on your first goal, and keep it going this season.
Thanks, Charlie. I appreciate it.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Oliver Moore. What a good kid he is. Had a great conversation with him. And Jack, we were talking off camera before we started with started rolling on our interview. I was asking, he's finally back home to Chicago after a very long road trip where he gets called up in the middle of it. And just to lay out the schedule for fans that didn't know, the Rockford IceHogs played, it was on Saturday in Rockford on November 1st. The very next day, they had a game on Sunday and had a bus to Grand Rapids. And Oliver was part of it. It was a quick one-off road trip. That's when Oliver got the call. So when he got the call up to the Blackhawks, he did not have many of his things. He had like an overnight bag because they were only supposed to be there for literally a day. And so he joins the Blackhawks on like the fourth or the fourth day of the road trip, 4 of 12 days. So I was asking him, I was like, what did you do? And like, you didn't have a suitcase, you didn't have any clothes. He's like, well, I had to go shopping at a nearby mall. And so he stocked up on a bunch of clothes. And then he's like, I had all these clothes. I realized I don't have a bag to put all these clothes in. So he had to go buy a back, like a mini suitcase, essentially. And so gets back to Chicago, and now that he's with the Blackhawks, he hasn't had an opportunity yet to go to Rockford to go collect most of his other things. And so it's been a whirlwind of the last couple of weeks for Oliver, but man, it was great to see him get his first NHL goal in Detroit. Man, he's come so close. Can't remember which game it was. It was in the first period. I think it actually might have been the Seattle game where he almost scored his first goal there. And so I thought he was noticeable on that road trip, but I enjoyed that conversation with Oliver.
Yeah, he seems like a fun kid, and he's definitely made the impact, so hopefully he can keep doing that and stay up here. And it is funny how all these guys are young, because last year they had so many of those veterans, and this year it's like completely flipped, and all these guys have played with each other for a little bit now, coming up together and figuring out the NHL together, and maybe going to buy clothes together when they get called up.
I asked Oliver specifically about Nick Lardis, because they were on the first line together in Rockford. Brett Cini was the center, and so then you had Moore on the left side, Lardis on the right, and I was actually looking at the numbers, and when Oliver Moore got called up on that November 2nd day, or should be officially November 3rd, but he got the call November 2nd, I went back and looked at Rockford's stats, and Nick Lardis is on a 4-game point drought. And it was literally when Oliver Moore got called up to the Blackhawks, and Lardis is going to be just fine. Like, he's going to break out of it. So maybe it's just coincidence, but I did think it was noteworthy that, you know, when Moore left that lineup, Lardis's production has suffered a little bit. And I think Moore has been driving that line. Moore and Lardis are great players. I think they play off each other really well. Even in the rookie showcase, when they played together, again, Lardis is going to be just fine. But I thought it was noteworthy that when Moore got called up, he instantly started making an impact for his line, in Seattle. Like, I think he had like three shots on goal in the first period. And then the other day he had four shot attempts I think it was four shots on goal in the first period. So Oliver is a guy, as he gets more comfortable in his skin and figuring out the NHL game, He's going to be a guy that can make a consistent impact and be one of those players where you're like, oh, he was the most notable player on this line tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows Lardis has to come up here now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hey, I'll take that. Call him up.
It does show what kind of player Moore is, and it's exciting because they have all these young guys, and now they're all really close. I think we've said that a few times. They're all either in Rockford or they're up in the NHL now, so it's a lot of fun, and they're winning. So, like, they're learning how to win, and hopefully they can keep rolling, but it's fun when all these guys come up and make an instant impact, because you want them to pop a little bit, even if Moore has to go back down at some point. But he played very well in those four games, and it's not like you didn't notice him out there, which is a positive sign.
Right. All right. Good stuff. Thanks to Oliver for doing that with me earlier today. One more break. On the other side, Duncan Keith was officially inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame last night. His speech was unbelievable. Jack and I will break down some of our favorite memories of Duncan and how special his speech was on the other side of the break, when Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois, wraps up after this on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich putting a bow on this show, and we got to talk about Duncan Keith, inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame last night in a beautiful ceremony, incredible speech. It was great to see, Jack, all the former teammates that were in attendance.
The boys are back.
The boys are back. The squad was back. They posted a picture earlier today on all their social media accounts, and Marian Hossa, Patrick Sharp, Brent Seabrook, Andrew Shaw, Corey Crawford, Brian Bickle, Brian Campbell, Dustin Byfuglien, Christopher Stieg, Ben Eager, Andrew Ladd. They were all in attendance to support Duncan Keith. And it was an incredible speech, Jack. It lasted about 11 minutes long, got emotional, just going through the ups and downs of his NHL journey, and obviously referencing his time in Chicago. But, Duncan Keith, such a special player to watch. Incredibly fierce competitor. The one thing I will remember about him is I don't think I ever saw him come off the ice feeling tired. Like, he would log 40 plus minutes in playoff games that went to overtime and double overtime. And, you know, he would kind of just look, he'd just be ready to go for the next shift. And so it was such a treat to watch, Duncan Keith play, and, nice that he officially got inducted and he got his due as a first ballot guy for Chicago.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, for me, that was in high school in the Blackhawks heyday, and middle school in the first one. So, I mean, he was the man. He would, no teeth out there. He's out there for half the game, and just super steady. And, I mean, it's cool to see. It's weird that he's in the Hall of Fame because it feels like he was just playing.
Yeah.
He totally deserves it, and it means we're getting older, but it's cool to see him go in. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's a few other guys, and I really like the picture that you posted of all them together, because it's like, those were the guys that we had so much fun rooting for, like, all back in one space. Was cool to see.
Yeah, and just imagine when it's Kane and Taves' turn, when they're all retired and they all can show up. Man, that feels
it'll
like
be a party.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a party. The one thing that stuck out to me in the speech. Now, Duncan Keith was a second round pick, so he wasn't like this really highly touted draft pick coming out of college or juniors or whatever, where it's like he was just expected to be great. He's a guy that really evolved into becoming are like easily the, I think not easily, I guess, but the best defenseman in Chicago Blackhawks history and one of the best defensemen of his era. And I thought it was interesting that the most emotional that he got in the speech was when he was thanking Trent Yawney, which was his former AHL coach, for 2 years with the Norfolk Admirals, which was the Blackhawks AHL affiliate at the time. And then Trent Yawney got called up to be the Blackhawks head coach. His time with Chicago was very brief. He was for about a season and a half. And, but his development or his work with Duncan Keith is noteworthy because this is what Duncan said about Trent Yawney as he was like fighting through tears and he needed a couple seconds to compose himself. He said on Trent, quote, "He not only taught me small details that I used as a foundation for the rest of my career, but just as important, if not more, he believed in me that I could use my speed and quickness as assets to defend." And at that time, Duncan Keith was a relatively undersized defenseman. Nowadays, undersized defensemen can thrive, but back then when Duncan Keith was breaking into the NHL, he was probably told, "You're too small. This isn't going to work in the NHL." And so it reminded me of, think about the impact right now that a guy like, or a coach like Jared Nightingale in Rockford or Anders Sorensen when he was in Rockford, how important the development of those coaches are to those players. It's going to pay dividends far down the road that we might never even realize. And so for Duncan to single out Trent Yawney as like a critical person in his journey to get to the NHL and not just get to the NHL, but become a 3-time Stanley Cup champion, a 2-time Norris Trophy winner, you know, a Conn Smythe winner. I mean, I thought that was awesome where it's like, man, you don't, we think Brent Seabrook and all these teammates and all former, you know, whatever college coach or whatever, but he's like, my AHL coach said he believed in me. And that's how one of the big reasons why he became Duncan Keith.
Yeah, that's what sports are all about, right? Those small relationships that you might not even notice but make a big impact. And it is cool to see that. And it does show how important. Sometimes you're just like, oh, he's coaching the minor league team. It's whatever, you know. It only matters at the top. But no, that's where you develop. And I mean, we've even seen some guys like Vlasic going through and Nazar going through, and you never know what kind of impact you're going to have. So that was really cool to hear when he was talking about that and singling that out, and that was really like the only part he got emotional in. So
yeah,
like that's cool to see.
All right, last thing, Jack, I got to get on my soapbox. I do not like that the NHL has games going on during the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Yeah,
I feel like it should just have its own night. There was a Friday night earlier in the year, like the first week of the season.
No one played.
It was like, what are we doing here? So yeah, maybe save that night for Hall of Fame night, because it felt like that those players deserve the attention and the spotlight. And like even Patrick Kane, in Detroit, they had an off night, and Patrick Kane even put on social media that he, you know, was watching. And so just feels like it's a celebration, night for hockey. And, I would like to see the NHL moving forward, maybe punt on the games and let that stand alone as its own night. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Our next show is going to be Monday, November 17th at 7 p.m. We'll talk to you then.